Bibles this morning, we are in 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 6. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. Nice to see you all here this morning. I'm coming to church. I'm just surprised that anybody comes to church here this time of year. The roads are horrid. It seems like it takes forever to get here. You can't, there's two things you can't do on the roads right now. You can't drink coffee, and ladies, you can't put on your lipstick. And, you know, so anyway, guys, that's something we don't struggle with so much, but nowadays, though, it's hard to say. So, yeah, I shouldn't have said that, should I? All right, here we are, 1 Peter chapter 3. You got them up there, James. Good job. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we read the first six verses in this chapter. The Bible says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by your conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold, or of the putting on of apparel, but let it be of the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, and as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement." Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God and its clear teachings in regards to the home and the family, the role of the husband, the role of the wife, the role of the kids in the home. God, I pray that we would be students of this book. Lord, we are Christians. I pray that everyone here has trusted you as their personal Savior. And if someone were to ask us, we would not deny that we are Christians. But sad to say, what happens in many cases is that we own Bibles, we have Bibles, we bring our Bibles to church, but we do not study our Bibles, we do not read our Bibles. And so the compass and the map of our life lay sitting on the counter, and we wander and get lost. I pray that you'd give us clear direction today in regards to the home, that we would know it, apply it, and live it, and that the lost may see a different life in us because of Jesus Christ. Bless this time, please, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The last couple of weeks we've been talking about the role of the husband in the home. We said, Dad, your presence is required and your presents are required. Obviously, your physical presence and the gifts that you can give to the home by the way that you live. And we talked about all of those things. And obviously, everyone needs to make a choice whether they're going to love the Lord and serve Him or whether they're going to love the world and serve it. And sad to say, we do make that choice. And it's obvious in our lives and the way that we live. In Joshua chapter 24, it's a verse you're all familiar with. Joshua said, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you who you will serve." And then he goes on to say, "But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." And men, that's a decision that you need to make in your home, that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And you make sure that that happens. Now, I understand there'll be some conflict at times, but you always choose the things of the Lord. And I'll tell you, your family will thank you in the long run. Now, how you carry that out, obviously, can get to be difficult at times. We've talked about some of those things, and I hope that you heard those. Obviously, the messages are available online. But I'll tell you what, there's no downside to serving Jesus Christ. There's no downside to living for Him. The life we live is exceptional. And I apologize if we have not conveyed that in the best way possible, because the world cannot compete with a true Christian life. It isn't even close. So here we are, guys, this morning, and we're starting to talk to the ladies, and I know this is what you've been looking for, and just sit right back and grin if you want to. This is our day. But obviously, you be careful how you grin, because she can wipe that grin off your face if you're not careful. So we're talking to the moms this morning, and obviously you know that I'm in the heating industry. My daytime job, obviously, I pastor this church, love doing it most of the time, and obviously also work for a small oil company. And if I were to make the comparison, I would say that, Dad, you are the boiler in the home. You are the heating appliance, okay? And Mom, you are the thermostat connected to the heating appliance, and you're the one that determines the temperature of the home, whether it's cold and icy whether it's warm and comfortable or whether it's hot. But sometimes you can come home, guys, and we feel like the temperature in the house isn't quite right. It feels kind of icy and cold. And how are you, honey? Fine. You know, right there, fine is not correct, you know, and all of those things that can go on, and we won't get into a lot of that today, but I'll tell you, ladies, you are the one that determines the temperature of the home. You are. And so, in our text this morning, I want you to do a little bit of a Bible study. Our first word that we read in 1 Peter chapter 3 is likewise. Say that with me. Likewise. And then if you go on a little bit further in verse number 7, we didn't read it, and it talks to the husbands. It says, likewise ye husbands. Well, what's the likewise referring to? Well, likewise is referring to something that happened earlier in the text that we did not read. So if you go back to chapter 2 of 1 Peter, just turn back another page if you're using a pew Bible, or however it's laid out in your Bible. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also hath suffered for us, leaving us an example. Say that with me. Leaving us an example. Likewise, you are an example, Mom. Likewise, Dad, you are an example of how Christ lived. You and I are supposed to live. So in verse number chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 7, when it says, likewise, you and I are that example to other people walking around us of a Christ-like life. And so in the home, the church, the family, all of those things are pictures of Christ. When we have a wedding, it's a picture of Christ in the church. And so what is our goal as Christians, as husbands and wives? Well, our goal number one would be a Christian home. Goal number two would be a changed home. And goal number three would be a cherished home. Number one, a Christian home. Well, how does that happen? Well, it can only be a Christian home if Christ is in the home. And Christ can only be in the home as if in Christ is in the heart of the residents that live there. Okay? Now, that doesn't happen. You didn't become a Christian by attending the Cornerstone Baptist Church. That's not how it works. You become a Christian by recognizing that you are a sinner in need of what we, in the biblical term, is in need of a Savior. What's a Savior? Someone that will rescue you. A lifeguard can rescue you. A police officer can rescue you. A firefighter can rescue you. They take these incredible dangers on themselves, putting themselves in great peril to take care of your safety. And in the Christian faith, Jesus Christ not only put him in great peril, he gave his very life on the cross that you and I sang about this morning, dying in my place to pay for your sin debt, because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So you have a death penalty on your life because of your sin, and there's nothing you can do about it. Only God can. And God, in the form of Jesus Christ, came down and he took your place. And at some point, through disaster, through love, through caring, through the gospel message, through some event in your life, God gets your attention. You realize your need of a Savior. You recognize that you are not good enough to get there on your own, because for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You cannot get to heaven on your own. It cannot be done. It never will be done. Having said that, Christ recognized that and he took your place, died for you. And now because of the price that he paid, if we'll confess our sins, be faithful and just, he will forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Say that with me. Thou shalt be saved. It's not a hope so. Once you pray and you trust Christ as your Savior, and the prayer we pray here is, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and believe my Savior. I believe that I'm a sinner. I know that you died for my sins. Forgive me. Come into my heart and save me. If you say words like that, mean them. Doesn't have to be exactly that. But if you recognize your sin ask Christ to be your Savior. He said he'll never leave us or forsake us. And instantly, right there, as soon as you believe, the Philippian jailer looked at the Apostle Paul and he said, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's that simple. Oh, Stan, it's got to be harder than that. It's not. Because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He didn't want to make it difficult. He wanted to make it as easy as he could for you to believe. Now, that doesn't mean it's over. Once you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you are a Christian. But that's all you are, is a Christian. Doesn't make you perfect. Doesn't make you mature. Now you are a baby in Christ that needs to grow. Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. John 3:3 says, except a man be born again. It's a new birth. What you've got needs to be discarded. You need a fresh start. He gives you a new life. Okay? In that new life, now that baby needs to grow. Now, wouldn't it be great? Number one, we're looking for a Christian home. You can only have a Christian home as if Christ is in your heart. Okay? Do you understand that? Are you with me on this? Because if I have to go back through all that again, we're going to be longer than we need to be, okay? So I'm hoping you followed all that. Now I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Stan Griffin is a Christian. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So I'm a new person in Christ. But a minute after I've prayed that prayer and I'm a Christian, how much am I different than what I was? I'll help you. Not much. The only thing is you're forgiven. But the change that takes place is different from person to person. We had a lady saved here a few years back, and she was a heavy smoker. And instantly, God took her desire for cigarettes away. Gone. That's great. Hallelujah. It doesn't always happen that way. Christians can struggle with smoking for years, and no, you won't go to hell for smoking. You'll just smell like you've been there. That's all. But it's... You know, but if you smoke and you know Christ, you're still saved, but that's a part of your life you recognize you want to work on and things and all. And you go to the South. I'm getting sidetracked here, but I've got a good friend of mine is a secretary in a Southern Baptist church in the South. They smoke down there. They'll step right out on the front steps there after church and grab one of their cancer sticks and go at it. I mean, that's what they do. They're not lost. They're not convicted about smoking. I am, just to let you know, I am. This body is a temple that Jesus Christ dwells in. What you put in it, what you mark on it, what you do with it, the holes that you poke in it, whatever you want to say, that is the temple that Christ lives in, and we are responsible. It is no longer yours. When you got saved, you gave yourself to God Almighty. He says, you're not your own. I am not my own. Say that with me. I am not my own. The Bible says, I'm bought with a price. He bought you. He paid for you. He owned you. You are a slave to him. Now, it's a good deal. He's a great master. I'm not downplaying it. I'm just telling you how it is, okay? And whatever you do with this body belongs to the Lord. You keep that in mind in the decisions you're making about it, what you're going to put in it, what you put on it, how you dress, how you convey yourself, because you belong to the Lord. I am a Christian. Say that with me. I am a Christian. I hope you mean that. Now, that gives me the ability to have a Christian home. But and it would be great, ladies, if that old reprobate you were married to, as soon as he got saved, turned into something really special. But you might be married to someone like this. Put another log on the fire. Did you ever hear this song? Okay? Listen to that. I wasn't familiar with this at all until we were visiting with my father-in-law 2 or 3 years back. I'd never heard this song, and he mentioned it, and I looked it up. I love this. Here's the guy singing, put another log on the fire, cook me up some bacon and some beans, and go out to the car and change the tire and wash my socks and sew my old blue jeans. Come on, baby, you can fill my pipe and then go fetch my slippers and boil me up another pot of tea. Then put another log on the fire, babe, and come and tell me why you're leaving me. Okay? Now, don't I let you wash the car on Sunday, and don't I warn you when you're getting fat? Ain't I going to take you fishing with me someday? Well, a man can't love a woman more than that. And I ain't always nice to your kid sister. Don't I take her driving every night? And so sit here at my feet, because I like you when you're sweet, and you know it ain't feminine to fight. Put another log on the fire, yada yada, and come and tell me why you're leaving me. So obviously, I just love that song, and it's sad to say so much of it is true. You can be a Christian, but a change still needs to take place. So what we're looking for is, once you come to Christ, we're looking for a Christian home, and we're looking for a changed home. Well, how does a change take place? And this is where I'm going, where angels need to tread. Pastor Scott, we sung to him earlier, Mark, myself, at times we deal with individuals that are, I don't know if it's safe to say they're complaining, but they're not happy with their home situation. And many times, as you listen to this individual talk, all they want to talk about is the inadequacies of the other and how their shortfallings are and all how pathetic they are. And in reality, they want you to believe that they are not the problem, that it's that spouse that they married, man or woman, whatever the case may be, and if they could just get straightened out, I would be so much happier. I'm not making this up. This is how a lot of these conversations go. But I want you to know that if I understand the Word of God correctly, and this isn't popular, but the reality of it is that a lot of times, changing you changes her. Changing you changes him. That the change that needs to take place isn't necessarily the other. The change that needs to take place is in yourself. And I know we're preaching to the ladies this morning, but this is a message that goes to both sexes. They are not necessarily the one. I wrote in my notes, changing me changes others. And I truly believe that. You've heard me reference a book lately. I've got the title of it wrong. I ordered it this week, and it'll be coming. A lady that wrote a book, and I've been calling it the title, Changing Everything That Changes, Changing Nothing That Changes Everything. That's not the title of the book, but the reality of it is this, is that when you start looking at things different, you'll notice how things start to change, because you can take the same exact circumstances, and it all depends on how you look at them, whether they're good or whether they're bad. But I'll tell you what, in every Hilton Hotels had a slogan years ago, we have no problems, only opportunities. And in the Christian life, folks, we have problems, I understand, but they are tremendous opportunities for God Almighty. And that's where it's all at. So how does a changed home, what's that look like? Well, there's a great outline in Ephesians chapter 5. And if you'll go with me, obviously you're familiar with Ephesians chapter 5, because in it talks about husbands, love your wives, and Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And it talks to wives about submitting to your husbands. But that's not where we're going this morning. Before you get to that part in Ephesians chapter 5, you've got verses 18, 19, and 20. And this is where we're going to set the temperature of the home, in verses 18, 19, and 20, ladies. If you will do these things, you will have a home that will be cherished. We've got a Christian home. We've got a changed home. And we want a cherished home. For the change to take place in your home, and I won't ask you, and you wouldn't want to tell me anyway, but sometimes I share with you some things that go on in our house with the kids and stuff, and I'll share a story in a little bit about something going on in our home. But the reality of it is, sometimes we have to admit, some of the things going on in our home, we really don't want to share. We don't want anybody to know. We want everyone to think that this is a Christian home, this is a happy home, and we've got it together. But many times, folks, our homes do not have it together. Can we admit that? Yeah, some of us can. And I'm not proud of that, but I'll tell you what, we live in a sinful world. I don't know if you noticed or not. Sometimes life is hard. Sometimes life is horrible. Sometimes life is downright hard to believe. And I'll tell you what, Satan is a master. And one of the things he loves to come along and do and say, you know what, if you weren't a Christian, you wouldn't have it so hard. It's this Christian life that's really shackled you. If you could just get out from under all this rules and regulations in life and things and going to church on Sunday, you'd be so much freer. And I'm telling you, it's a lie right out of the pit of hell. That is not true at all, because I'll tell you, regardless, with Christ or without Christ, I know this isn't popular, you will suffer in this life. Did you hear me? with Christ or without Christ, you will suffer in this life. This is a sinful world who the god of this world, Satan, is screwing it up. Did you hear me? And it isn't fun. So I've decided I'd rather suffer with Christ than without him. If it's going to be a hard road, I want the guy that can handle anything with me. And that's Jesus Christ. So don't let Satan lie to you and say it's because of your Christian faith. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Everybody has bad days. I want a bad day with Christ rather than a bad day without him. So here we are. And so how can we make more good days than bad days? And I think it's outlined in Ephesians 5, 18, 19, and 20. So number one, in Ephesians 5, 18, if you're using a Pew Bible, it's on page 1254. It says, "And be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Say that with me. But be filled with the Spirit. Now, obviously, we know that alcohol is a controlling thing. People get drunk. People kill people. Why? Because the alcohol starts to overtake their body. We can be controlled by a lot of things. Young boys now, they're controlled by their game consoles. That's all they want to do. I'm told they sit and do this for hours or whatever. You know, whatever. But they're under control of something else. They can't not be doing that. Some folks are under control of alcohol. Some people are, whatever you want to fill in the blank in, the Bible is not saying, it's not talking about alcohol in this. It's saying there are things that can control you. Christian, be controlled by the Spirit of God. Say that with me. Christian, be controlled by the Spirit of God. When that's your control, you can't go wrong. So number one, I want a spiritual life. I want the Holy Spirit controlling me. The Bible says we can quench the Spirit of God. We can stop God's Spirit working on us. Sometimes we have felt in the invitation at the end of the service, sometimes the Spirit of God will speak to you and say, you need to go to the altar. Do you always do that? I'll answer that for you. No. You don't. Why? Because you can quench God's Spirit. God's Spirit will nudge you. It'll talk to you. It'll speak to you. It'll try to get you to do what is right. And we can decide whether we will or not. We've preached a gospel message here for years. I've done it. I'm an evangelist at heart. I've seen people crying, seeing God work in their life, refusing. I've been a personal worker for years, one-on-one talking to people. I can remember a gentleman years ago, back when I would have been in the late 70s, early 80s, just a young man talking to a gentleman that was older than my father. His first name was John. John, you need the Lord. Talked to him, quoted verses. I'm just a kid, just a teenager. He's standing there with he said, I know you're right. Tears in his eyes. I know you're right. I just can't do that. That man died and went to hell. He never chose Christ. The Spirit of God was convicting him. He knew the truth of it. He just was never willing to do that. And to my knowledge, John never did. And he's not the only one that that's ever happened to. And it breaks my heart as a Christian. Be controlled by the Spirit. Once I've trusted Christ as my personal Savior, my Bible teaches me that the Spirit of God lives in me. Okay, you're not your own. You're bought with a price, and you're never alone. Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Well, how is he with me? He's with me by his Spirit, and he's in there, and he's speaking to me, and he's talking to me, and the more you obey him, the easier it is to obey him, and the more you disobey him, the easier it is to disobey him. You need to decide, I'm going to follow the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my body, we will serve the Lord. This is how it's going to be. You make that choice. And you follow through on it. You let God guide you. Number one, in your home, you want a spiritual life. That's how a changed life looks. It's a spiritual life, number one. Number two, a changed life looks like this in verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Not only is it a spiritual life, number two, it's a biblical life. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, that's Bible. That's singing Bible, that's quoting Bible, that's thinking biblically. I'll tell you what, the world's thinking worldly. You and I need to be thinking biblically, how we look at things. We've been getting our 5-year-old son to memorize the Bible. Last Sunday morning, we started out the message with he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that's broken down without walls. And obviously, we see a tremendous number of people that cannot control themselves. They're out of control. They can't rule their own spirit. They're like a city broken down without walls. He's watching a Batman movie, very spiritual thing. And so at the end of it, and at the end of the Batman thing, this whole city is destroyed. And Cody, under his breath, he says, it's like a city broken down without walls, you know? And I'm thinking, how great is that? How great is that? Because you and I need to be seeing things biblically. We could learn a lot from a five-year-old looking at things like that, you know? And singing, you know, a lot of times there ain't singing going on. A lot of hollering going on. A lot of fighting going on. Now, maybe you ought to sing your fights. Come on over here, woman. I don't know. But some of the things that there ought to be a little more humor is when you're talking about singing and living biblically, there's some laughter going on. There's some joy in the home. Joy is a byproduct of living a Christian life. We are happy. I'm not kidding. We are happy. And that, who's a duck? Happy, happy, happy. Okay? There ought to be some joy going on with you. There ought to be some smiling going on. There ought to be some singing going on. Say, Stan, I can't sing. Doesn't matter. Sing anyway. Doesn't matter. You can't carry a tune in the bucket? Good. Kids will always remember that. You know? That it's all part of the process. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spirits. Your assignment this week, Mom, is to sing, whether you can or not. Your assignment this week, Dad, is to sing. Your assignment this week, kids, is to sing. Well, I don't know what to sing. Go online, look up old hymns, anything, whatever you want, new songs, old songs, whatever. One thing that has helped me tremendously is I grew up in church. We were a hymn-singing church going. I know hundreds of songs. And in times of struggle and trial, nothing helps like being able just to sing a song under your breath and recognize that God's faithful and he's powerful. Even if amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And all kinds of things. There was Louis Dortz in heaven this morning, died yesterday. There was a hospice worker that came in and gentleman knows the Lord and we were there and he says, well, can I sing for you? I'm thinking, this is something I would never do, you know? And so he sang a couple of songs, Because He Lives. Some of the songs he didn't quite get the words right to, but for most people, they wouldn't know the difference, you know? Music is a powerful tool when it's used in the hands of a believer. I don't know about you, songs we sang this morning, The Cross, I get teared up. I hate that, you know? But I'll tell you, it changes your heart. Makes you soft. Soft isn't a bad thing. So what's the temperature like in your home? Number one, you want a spiritual home. You want a biblical home. And lastly, in verse number 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a thankful home. And I'll tell you what, in the United States of America, I don't care if you don't have much. You got way more. You are in the upper percentiles of the rest of the world. Of what we have, being thankful. So a changed home, a Christian home, a changed home is a spiritual home, a biblical home, a thankful home. 1 Peter 3, 3 and 4. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 3. And lastly is a cherished home. And I got to find my spot in 1 Peter 3. A cherished home. Whose adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning, or the plaiting of the hair, or the wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel. Let it be the hidden man of the heart. Now, obviously, it's referring to makeup, Mary Kay, Oil of Olay, Avon, chains, rings, all that stuff you ladies wear. It's wonderful, wonderful. Love it. Don't stop. If the barn needs painting, you paint away. Okay? All that stuff. Okay, but I'll tell you what, what's on the outside's got nothing to do with what's on the inside. And you can fix it all up. I don't know, I never saw Jezebel, Ahab's bride, but the Bible says that she, at the last day of her life, she fixed herself all up. You know, and leans out the window, yoo-hoo, yoo-hoo. Now, maybe she thought she looked like something, and maybe she did, but inside, that was one of the most wicked women that ever lived. The outside's got nothing to do with it. Let it be of the hidden man of the heart. Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. How he shapes you and what he does inside of you that can just have such a power, ladies, over your husband, it can't be described. It's incredible how changing you can change him. Because Peter is talking to ladies that their husbands are not believers. And any that obey not the word, they don't listen to the word, they don't read the word, they're not even in their Bible. You know what the Bible is that they're going to see? It's the Bible they're going to see in you. It's that hidden man of the heart. There's something going on in you that they don't know what it is, but you're acting different. You met Christ and you don't understand it. But the Bible says that change in you can lead to his eternal salvation. And I'd like to take that a step further, Christian, that every one of us have a duty to show a changed life that can lead someone else to Christ. Because there ought to be something different about us than what the world is. And I'll tell you what, if you and I will just stay close to the Lord, that difference is getting to be greater and greater and greater. It's huge. A cherished home. Home is where the heart is. So let me ask you this question as we close up here. If you could be anywhere, where would you want to be? Really, anywhere, where would you want to be? Some people, oh boy, I'd like to go on a cruise. Okay, go. Good. Go ahead. How about, I'd like to go to camp, hunting and fishing. That's great. Love that stuff. But Emily and I, we've talked about all this, and we'll travel some. We have in the past, we will in the future, whatever. But when it's all said and done, I want to be home. Why? Because that's where my heart is. That's where the family is. I've mentioned this to you before. We went to Florida for Tori's graduation. We get down there. You know, it's a trip to go to Florida. A few plane rides and going from this airport to that airport, and we get down there. We hadn't been there an hour. Cody looks at us. Can we go home? I'm thinking, son, we got a problem because we ain't close to going home, you know? So we stayed down there, did the graduation thing, came home. Cody gets on the couch. We hadn't been home long. He's sitting on the couch. He's saying, I'm so glad I home, my home, my home, you know? And that's the truth. There is an old saying, ladies, that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, you know? And so some of you ladies can just plain cook. That's why we love potluck around here and stuff. And we get to sample all those things. And there's no question there's something special when the right combination is put together and you put it down in front of us and we as guys say, man, this is good. And then we eat more than we should. And there's no question through food we feel a connection to our wives. But I'll tell you, I think the way to a man's heart isn't through his stomach. I think the way to a man's heart is through his wife's heart. Because it's the heart of the matter that matters. And what we've got going on in our home is so critical. And next Sunday, we'll be talking about the kids. And I'll tell you what, the kids are going to model what they see. And we get very short-sighted, and it's depressing to me that we're not thinking at all about the next generation. All we're thinking about is about ourselves. And we're making choices that those kids are going to model, and it's not good. And I'll tell you what, you can't beat a godly wife, ladies. You can't beat it. Your husband will appreciate it. What it does for me, seeing my wife follow the Lord, I can't put into words. It is one of the greatest joys I have of knowing that my wife and I serve together, love the Lord together, and I see our kids copying what we're doing, hopefully for the good and not for the worse. Does that make sense? Your assignment this week is to make sure that you've got a cherished home, a home that you want to go home to. And if you know that's not the case, if in your heart you're wondering if my family wants to come home, then I challenge you to make some adjustments on that. So that's the place that you want to be. Because really our home is our little piece of heaven here on earth. Because our real home is in heaven. And that's where I want to go. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time in your word. I hope what we've said has made sense. I know I've probably said some things that can be hard to hear if they're convicting, but they're very easy to listen to if we believe it. And I pray that you'd work in our hearts and our lives, moms and dads and young people, that we would have a heart for the things of God, that we would be Christians, that we would be changed because of Christ, and we would be cherished because of our love and walk with you. Lord, it starts out by saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive my sins. I hope that every person here at some point in their life has chosen you as their Savior. And then you can start that process on us of being a new person in Christ. Thank you for your word. Lord, we'll open the altars. I pray that if your Holy Spirit is speaking to us, that we'd not quench the Spirit this morning, but we would be filled with the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit, following the Spirit of God in our lives. You've given us this life. We only get one chance at it. I pray that it would be surrendered and given totally over to you, that there'd be no wasted days. Bless the homes in this church, the moms, the dads, the kids. Strengthen marriages. Strengthen hearts. If there are changes that need to be made, I pray that we're not thinking about the change that needs to be made in our wife if we're a husband, or in our husband if we are a wife, but the change that would be need to be made in us to be what you want us to be. Bless the invitation, please, Lord. Bless our church families. In Jesus' name, amen.